I'm sure you've seen them. The real estate ads with location, location, location splashed across the top of the listing. It usually indicates some prime real estate, maybe on a hill with a nice view, or some waterfront property, or maybe it's the most desirable part of town, so as to take advantage of all of the amenities, but from a nice, safe, and quiet spot. Either way, location is everything. Which is maybe why location is one of the first things that jumps out from our readings today. Jesus has been up all night praying on the mountaintop. He then selects and names the 12 that will become his apostles. And together, they go down to a level place where they're joined by a great crowd of people from all over the region, Judea and Jerusalem, and from as far away as the coast of Tyre and Sidon. A level place, a flat plain. Matthew places this sermon given by Jesus on the top of a mountain. We call it the Sermon on the Mount. Luke places this version of the same sermon on flat land. The Sermon on the Plain doesn't have quite the same ring, but its location for Luke is intentional. Luke's gospel account of Jesus's ministry opens with the prophet John the Baptist marching around Galilee, crying, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill be made low." And now, Jesus is here, standing on the level place, surrounded by this great crowd who have come to be healed, healed of diseases, healed of being troubled, probably some just needing to feel at peace, in need of feeling reassured that God sees them and is with them. Jesus looks up at his disciples and begins to speak. "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets." Does that sound a little jarring? Does it sound harsh? It should. I think that's the point. Jesus has come down from a high place and literally stood on the level with those who are hurting, with those who are in need, with those who are poor or hungry, and those who need to be comforted. The mountain has come low, and the valleys have been raised, and Jesus is standing on the level place with those who are on the margins. He has physically located himself in the midst of them, embodying the sermon that he preached just a few weeks ago in his hometown synagogue in Nazareth, where he proclaimed that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release for the captives and recovery of sight for the blind, to let the oppressed go free and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And in physically locating himself in the midst of the crowd, not only is he proclaiming that once again, he is there to inaugurate the year of the Lord's favor, but he is proclaiming that things are going to continue to be upturned, that the mountains will keep being leveled, that the valleys will continuously be raised, that his ongoing work, the work of his disciples, is to upend those conventions and values that have become safe and secure. Because that's the content of his sermon on the plain that we read today. Here, blessed doesn't mean happy. It isn't some hashtag blessed that we put on a picture of us that we take having a really good day. It doesn't necessarily mean that everything is awesome. But it does mean that we're satisfied, that we're going to be at peace, that we're feeling unburdened. Well, you might be wondering, why would those who are poor, hungry, weeping, or hated for the gospel feel at peace, feel satisfied? To get that answer, I think we need to look at the second part of Jesus' sermon. Woe. Woe to you, says Jesus four times. Here, woe is a word of warning. It's a call to repentance and to change behavior. But wait, you might be saying, why is having some money or having enough to eat or laughing something that needs to change? What a strange sermon, Jesus. I think it's important to realize that Jesus isn't preaching a sermon that sends the poor and hungry to heaven and the rich and satisfied to hell. We aren't supposed to equate blessed with saved and woe with damned. He's preaching a sermon that is supposed to shock and jar us into thinking about where we are, about what our location is, where we are standing, who or what we rely on. Jesus is asking his listeners and us to really think about why he's there amongst them. To think about if we're actually following through on the words of Jesus when he tells us that the time is now to proclaim release for the captives and good news for the poor. To ask ourselves how we feel about the status quo being upended and turned on its head for the sake of the gospel. And to reinforce what he's saying, Jesus physically locates himself on the same level as those who are hurting, physically locates himself amongst those who are sick, amongst those who are in need, those who are seeking God. Physically locating himself on the plain, not on a mountain looking down, not in the valley, but on a level place where the mountains have been brought low and the valleys raised. And it's these folks who Jesus is calling blessed. It's the people who are seeking after Jesus, the people who have space in their lives to need Jesus, to see Jesus, to welcome Jesus and actively follow him as he proclaims the year of the Lord's favor. Look what Jesus says. It isn't, blessed are you who are poor, for you'll receive lots of money. He says, for yours is the kingdom of God, and you will be filled. Since they're not relying on money or food or happiness to make them satisfied, there's space in their life for God and for God's kingdom. And the woe is for the folks who have settled into their privilege and think that they have nothing to worry about. It's for the folks who have everything they need and don't need to trust in God, trust in Jesus, and who would rather keep the status quo, even if it hurts other people. Which is scary for folks who have everything, because Jesus is suggesting that the things that make us comfortable, lots of money, lots of food, everyone thinks really highly of us, that those things that make us comfortable might actually be the things that kill us. It's a huge caution flag. Watch out. Life isn't as perfect as you might think it is. Sobering stuff. It's a reminder for us to continually ask ourselves, where am I standing? Am I standing on the mountain of things that keep me away from God? Am I standing on the level plain with Jesus and the crowd of those who are hungering after healing and peace and justice? Is there space where I am for God? Am I too comfortable? Or am I being pushed out of my comfort zone? Where am I standing? Where are you standing? Where are we standing? Amen.